The worst thing that has ever happened to me on a computer. I was in New York, a school on Upper East Side, in a computer laboratory, enjoying my time on a Macintosh Performa 5200. I had floppy disks. I had everything. I sat there really enjoying just poking around the user interface. I loved the fonts. Having come from GAOS on C64 and some old DOS, it was a nice UI. In come two teenage ladies. I was way too shy to just talk, and my English was still rather broken. I enjoyed their company, though, especially since the sophisticated lady was teaching her friend how to use a painting program. They were making all kinds of lines, big shapes, little shapes. Times were much simpler back then. It was good stuff. I was still just poking around the computer. I found a bike racing game. I think it was just called Motorbike. And I came across Mavis Bacon Teaches Typing. But I don't remember having much success with opening it. Having had my fill of the user interface for the moment, I thought of the webcam on Fifth Avenue, which when put into 2-bit dither mode, moved like crazy. That had to be at least 10 frames per second. It doesn't sound like much now, but it was a camera connected to the computer. Then, all of a sudden, the screen of the ladies next to me turned a happy purple, which made me turn in happy curiosity. Frustrated, the girl doing the teaching couldn't figure out why the bucket fill tool was filling the whole screen and not just the area she was clicking. I squeaked with broken English. "This is open. You have to close," pointing at an area of pixels that was making the fill tool get confused and fill the whole screen. I tried to smile, you know. I was helping.
In response, she contorted herself towards me, slowly lifting her head with a frigid expression.
I offended the poor girl somehow, and now needed evacuation.
But she kept turning towards me still.
So being a proper gentleman, I waited for her to have her say. The moment she stopped turning to face me, and I thought maybe she'd say something nice, her frigid expression began changing. At first, what I thought was a cheerful little smile, but then it continued. This pretty lady started looking like a Maori-style warrior. The situation grew so grim that it seemed like I'm about to evacuate myself on the spot. She said, "I don't need your help." In perfect squeaky English that sounded and echoed like a sweet, delicate song. Punished, I packed my bag and hurried out of the room. But for 30 years now, I've been wondering why she was so offended. And just this weekend, when I was working on a dynamically generated SVG, I thought up that maybe she was used to vector graphics on her parents' computer. I continued pondering if perhaps some programs on a nice system like an Amiga have an algorithm to ignore small gaps, as not to offend the users with explosive purple, as happened to the lovely lady next to me. She was really smart. We were all super smart in that school. Pixel art has been calling to me like crazy recently, and I have some vague ideas for such an algorithm myself. Something to do with spheres. Afterward, on a much more serious note. Both of those girls were super smart, but also, really, so was everyone else, and those who had no chance were only a friend away. I was just a reject, who kept to himself again. Recovering from years of bullying wasn't something that any of those cats could easily grasp. My soul, if you want to call it that, was always unbreakable. And I think very kindly of this terrible young lady. I really do. As I was meant to write this text for a couple of days now, with all these ideas in the back of my mind, for a second, I might have recalled what she looked like 30 years ago. I was definitely not offended. We were all betrayed by education. We were told to learn things other than we cared about. That's why I was in the lab admiring the user interface on a Macintosh. Why she was showing her friend how to draw on the computer. I cannot imagine what possessed these seemingly normal adults and made them think that they could shove their culture and information into our minds. The arch above that school read, "Knowledge is power." But all the teachers I've ever met only ever cared for erasing our knowledge in favor of theirs. As a teenager, probably like many, I thought of myself as an old man. I did not let bullies make me one of them. I had wisdom from standing up to actual snarling beasts, no matter how many. I never understood why they were attacking me, so I never knew how many would return and when. Arriving in the United States was a new life, and with a great deal of warrior wisdom. I was a man. And then, in high school, they told me to abandon it and become a memorizer and performer for good grades. What great betrayal, what arrogance to simply dismiss what made us whole, to dismiss the integrity of our unique, beautiful mind. In favor of pretending to learn. I came here for a fair start, and I was met with a threat. Memorize for good grades, or we will destroy your future just like that. So I became a reject. Because rejecting such things is what you do with them. I continue studying computers in no way that a school could ever teach. It is an insult to even think that way. I still carefully study the user interface. What people pass at a glance, I view as gateways into new possibilities. I'm working on a small visual programming language now. And sometimes I feel like, just as an excuse, I should build a sparkling pixel art version of it. I imagine artificial intelligence image generators, when told to make a pixel art GUI, would create great and enchanting things. To learn, to truly learn, we have to stand in relentless pursuit of our ever-developing curiosities. To learn for real, we have to learn in the right sequence and at the correct pace.